I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There's no addendum this evening. There are a few brief announcements. Last week was very busy, particularly near the end of the week. We had the Heritage Arts Sports Museum held an open house from 5 to 9 p.m., I believe, and I know a number of councillors attended. It was really a good opportunity for the Heritage Arts to show off some of their exhibits. They're really becoming cramped in the space that they're located in now, and I would expect that they'll be getting, hopefully they'll be getting some opportunities to expand it, because there's some fantastic sports history in this town, including the gentleman at the far end of the horseshoe here on my left, Sandy Annunziata. And there was an unveiling of what I believe will probably be something that will go up on the wall for Harvey Bowles, a Masters athlete and a champion many, many times over in the past. The following evening, the 40 Reliance Club celebrated its 50th anniversary, and the Councillor Basura was not only in attendance as the MC and as a member of the 40 Reliance Club, but also as a member of council, so triple duty. The following morning, the Bell Tower hosted the first breast cancer walk in Fort Erie, and that was very well attended. The weather held out, didn't rain. It was quite nice, actually, to walk on Sunday, late Sunday morning. This week coming up, the Optimists will be recognizing youth in our community again each year in April. This year they're late, it's May. They recognize elementary school students who have done well, and so they provide them with a bit of encouragement in their studies, and that takes place Tuesday of this week at the Optimist Hall. On Wednesday, the Fort Erie High School is hosting a talent program from 7 until 9. That will be one of the last programs actually held at the Fort Erie Secondary School, because as we all know, it will be closing at the end of June, and will reappear in its new guise across the street as the Greater Fort Erie Secondary School. So that's on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, May the 11th. On Friday, the Fort Erie Multicultural Center is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and that's to be held at the Old Fort. And I believe that starts at 7 o'clock. I did want to make reference to one good news story that I heard about, and that was recently I was apprised of the fact that Sally Graves' grade 8 class at Garrison Road School entered a competition relative to Parks Canada, and to celebrate Canada's 150th anniversary. The top prize for the contest is a trip to Nova Scotia for 4 days for a class of up to 30. Ms. Graves' class chose to focus on Fort George in Niagara-on-the-Lake, which is the closest Parks Canada facility that we have here in Niagara. And the students entered the competition. There were 69 classes entered in the contest across the country. There were 50,000 votes cast. And although, unfortunately, the Garrison Road class did not win, they were one of the 5 runners-up, and they received a $1,000 award. And that will be in the guise of a field trip to a local Parks Canada location. And they've decided that they will take advantage of the Fort George Ghost Tour sometime in June. So congratulations to Ms. Graves and to Steve Webb, the principal, and all of the students in Ms. Graves' class for a job well done. And I hope it's not too scary when they do the ghost tour. Those are the announcements, except I did want to make reference to the fact, and counselors have been made aware of this situation, which poses a bit of a predicament for the Fort Erie racetrack, and that is this. At the end of last week, Woodbine Entertainment announced that it was going to implement a new policy whereby horses stabled at Woodbine will not be allowed to leave the track during the course of a meet except one time, and one time only, to race at a facility unless the stakes are greater than, the purses are greater than $20,000 for the race. For all intents and purposes, that means that horses stabled at Woodbine will be able to come to Fort Erie once, and they won't be able to come again during the course of the summer meet here. And since most or a large portion of the horses that leave Woodbine do come to race in Fort Erie, that will have a significant impact on the number of horses that race in Fort Erie. The number of horses in any given race is important for those who bet on races. Obviously, the larger the field of horses, the more exciting, the more competition, and the greater opportunity for bettors. And so this is something that is of great concern to the town of Fort Erie. Woodbine Entertainment states that the policy is being implemented in order to support the growth of the horse racing industry in Ontario. But the reality is it will jeopardize horse racing in Fort Erie, which happens to be the only other thoroughbred horse racetrack in Ontario. And one doesn't have to speculate too far to understand that if horse racing in Fort Erie is jeopardized, that has the potential to eliminate competition for Woodbine, the major thoroughbred horse racing track. We all know that horse racing in Ontario is regulated by the government. Both of the tracks are subject to the same rules. Both of the tracks are subsidized in one way or another by the government of Ontario, the taxpayers of Ontario. And it's hard to imagine that the government, when apprised of this situation, will not ensure that Woodbine will not be able to arbitrarily implement policies that will restrict competition in Ontario for thoroughbred horse racing. This is just wrong that one beneficiary of government funding would attempt to put another beneficiary of government funding out of business. And I've had an opportunity to chat with one of my council colleagues. I've spoken to the general manager of the Fort Erie Live Racing Consortium, Jim Tebear, and we will be developing a strategy to respond to this because this is simply not acceptable and we are not prepared to accept this. I will be seeking support of council and input from members of council to develop a strategy whereby we can deal with this situation. And I would dare say that in my mind, it's not just a matter now of responding to a policy, and there have been a number of policies in the past that Woodbine has implemented that created difficulties for horse racing in Fort Erie. Now it seems to me that we should be upping the game and really going after what we lost here several years ago. And so we'll be approaching the government once we have that strategy in place. And I know that councillors will be supportive because this is a big industry in the town of Fort Erie, and it's a big part of what we have to offer to people want to come to Fort Erie. So are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Oh, I'm sorry. I got so wrapped up there that I forgot to mention that we have a big event coming up on May the 20th, and is that Councillor Zanko this evening?
My turn tonight. On a happier, more positive note, we do have our party on the patio, Fire and Ice, approaching in less than 2 weeks now. It's being held on May the 20th at 5 p.m. at the Leisureplex. The good news is we're about 90% sold out, so we do expect to definitely have a sellout. The evening is going to be comprised of a various lineup of wonderful entertainment. We have a different spin coming in all the way from New Jersey for a fire show. We have West Wind, who's a local band to Fort Erie. They will be performing for us. We have Almost Hip, who is known for touring throughout Canada, I believe, for obviously the tragically hip music. And we also have the associates who's local to Niagara as well. Food and delicious barbecue is being provided by Billy Bones Barbecue. They're an award-winning caterer as well. And if you would like to get tickets before it's too late, you can do so by going to Eventbrite, searching Party on the Patio, or also going to our Facebook page, which is Party on the Patio Fire and Ice, or you can, of course, contact Councillor Butler, Councillor Pizzurro, or myself. But again, we're at 90% sellout, so please don't wait to get your tickets. 100% of the proceeds are going towards the Centre of Arts.
Great. Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko, and yeah, we're looking forward very much to that. Should be pretty exciting. Okay. Did I forget anything else? Good. We'll move on to disclosure of pecuniary interest. If there are none, there are no public notices of any upcoming public meetings. And that takes us to the Regional Councillor's Report. Good evening, Councillor Nunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of Council and people in the gallery and staff. So just piggybacking on some of the comments that you mentioned and very timely comments, Your Worship, with respect to the Fort Erie Racetrack. We have galvanized forces with our friends in Niagara Falls with the potential of 1,400 job losses and the modernization of casino report. So again, I think it highlights the display of arrogance when it comes to not consulting with your partners. So the City of Niagara Falls is demanding to be consulted with in any RFPQ that goes out there in the modernization of those casinos, and I think it's only fair that we should have been consulted at the Fort Erie Racetrack with respect to what Woodbine was proposing. So very timely comments. I will start with a clean bill of health from the Minister of Environment and Climate Control with respect to our water treatment facilities. So 100% compliance, so that's good news. Segueing into the work that's going to be done at the Rose Hill Water Facility Treatment Plant, $11.9 million will be going towards upgrading the Rose Hill Water Treatment Plant. It services roughly 30,000 residents in Fort Erie. They're 90% complete to the design phase right now. So currently, there is an RFPQ going out. That tender will close probably September, and we will have a contractor that will be responsible for upgrading the Rose Hill Treatment Plant. I thought I'd bring to the attention of this council, certainly there's been a lot of discussion over the last probably year and a half when it comes to governance reform and double direct duty. It's very, very clear that there is no appetite in the region. So the request came from the City of St. Catharines for the region to consider it, following the deference model and giving our partners the opportunity to pursue different things. The regional council voted to allow St. Catharines to have that discussion. St. Catharines, in turn, voted to not pursue double direct. But again, the motion did go out to all our partner municipalities, and I think it was only the town of Lincoln or West Lincoln that agreed to it. The rest of the 12 municipalities did not agree to the reform in double duty direct. So
West Lincoln has double direct because they have one representative.
There you go.
The mayor.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And West Lincoln has applied to add one more seat to the regional council. So, okay. So we are in the transition phase of Canada 21 game. So as you know, we were the successful bidder in Niagara. So now we're transitioning from the bid committee to the actual task force that will be responsible for hosting and putting together the games and putting the infrastructure in place. So I'll make sure that I keep this council well apprised of any opportunities that that come this council's way, and certainly the mechanism going forward as far as the governance and who's going to be responsible for the reporting of any dollars. Okay, I will leave it up to questions to council if they have any.
Thank you, Councillor Annunziata.
You're welcome.
Any questions by members of council? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Not so much a question, just again, Councillor Annunziata, I'd like to pass along the concerns of my constituents, especially in the West Main Street area, that they're asking for a meeting with the Niagara Regional Police Services, at least initially with the community police rep, to date, they do not feel satisfied whatsoever with the response from the Niagara Regional Police. Anything we can do to facilitate that? Just as far as speeding on the side streets, passing the buses while they're trying to let children off, vandalism that's occurred in the local parks, they want their voice to be heard, and they'd like a meeting. So anything we can do to facilitate that.
So absolutely, and great comments, Councillor Nutt. And again, you've been at the forefront of this concern. So your residents owe you thank you as well. So I will be bringing that forward to Member Gale and passing it on to Niagara Regional Police. But again, we did want to institute some traffic calming measures until some more concrete solutions were found. But I'll be more than happy to bring that forward. Again, if there is a Fortier representative in that liaison, chain of command between the town of Fort Erie, if point me in that direction, and we can certainly kind of situate a meeting. So I don't know if we have a NRP liaison here at the town of Fort Erie, but I'll be more than happy to pass that information on to NRP.
And I can kind of liaise between you and Councillor Nutt with respect to that, because there are some individuals that are involved, and the local detachment has usually been very good.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that they haven't done anything, because I have noticed myself that there are more police vehicles in the area, but that's at 6, 7 in the morning. The buses come at 8. Like, it might be timing, it might not be. I don't know. I don't want to say they haven't been completely responsive. They've addressed the speeding, and they are patrolling the streets a little more. It's just that I've let the constituents know that we are working on it and that you are bringing it forward to Mr. Gale. So just anything we can do to facilitate some type of liaison would be very helpful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziati.
I would be remiss if I didn't notify council of the GO Transit Hub study that is underway right now. So just to update council as far as where we're at right now. So the study and the context and site review is complete. The preparation, vision, and the principles and the public first public event is complete. Right now, they're in the preparation of draft secondary plans with respect to Grimsby, St. Catharines, and Niagara Falls. There'll be public meetings in June, and as the plan progresses, I'll make sure that this council and certainly the town of Fort Erie are fully aware of any public meetings with respect to the GO Transit Hub studies.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That takes us then to presentations and delegations, and the first delegation is Stuart Hendry, the Chief Information Officer from the Niagara Region, to talk about funding possibilities for fiber infrastructure. Good evening, Mr. Hendry.
Good evening. Thanks for having me out here. I know I got 10 minutes, so I'm starting the stopwatch now.
Good man.
I want to thank Kelly Davis for inviting me out to the but we've been working together off and on with these having these conversations, working together on about how to essentially bring broadband across Niagara in general. So is that you or me? That's you? Okay. So it didn't want to be me. So I just want to say thanks for the invite out for Kelly to come and talk, and he's also available too if you've got any questions that are specific to Fort Erie itself. So what I want to take you through is just some of the whys of broadband or high-speed internet. Some people, they hear broadband, what is that? But really, at the end of the day, we're talking about high-speed internet. So it's talking about, you know, why that's important, and then what I want to talk about is some of the things that we're doing at Niagara Region in collaboration with our partners, our municipal partners, and public sector partners as well throughout the region. Just wanted to highlight that expanding digital infrastructure throughout Niagara Region was identified as a Niagara Region Council priority. And in my conversations with Kelly, he's also indicated, too, that that's one of your strategic objectives. And also really supports the overarching objective of supporting that environment for economic prosperity. One of the challenge with broadband, and in Niagara we know it well, it's not highly available. It's really centered in certain areas. And what happens is the telecoms, they're going to build where they're going to make money. Essentially, their driver is shareholder value. So putting fiber lines out into the middle of rural areas is not necessarily profitable or desirable for them. So at the end of the day, they get to drive where we invest. And what you end up is significant disparity between urban areas and rural areas. A great example on your screens here, talking about broadband providers picking the winners on it. Bell recently invested over $1 billion in fiber investment in Toronto to support however many customers it is. But the story there is that Toronto didn't need more fiber infrastructure, but Bell themselves decided, well, we're going to invest another $1 billion into Toronto, again, sort of picking the winners and losers there. Take those billions and spread them around a little bit differently. It would be advantageous to them. In December, the CRT also made an announcement of sorts that broadband is now considered to be a basic service. What is, by definition, their definition of basic service is the ability to have 50 meg down, essentially fast download speeds, but also the ability to upload data quickly as well. The challenge that CRTC has noted, though, is they're a body. They can't actually do anything about this. So you're really relying on businesses and government to start contributing to this. Again, on your screens, just to give you an idea where Canada sits, Canada globally is a bit of a laggard when it comes to high-speed backbone or fiber infrastructure. If we look at some of the top guns there, Japan, Korea, what that's saying is that of the broadband access they have, 75% or 74% of that is fiber, and fiber is really where you want to be with the broadband availability. It's the most scalable solution. It's the most reliable solution. And it's also got a long lifespan. It's not a technology that's going to disappear anytime. If we look at Canada, you'll see us down there at 8%. So we've got a long way to go to start catching up globally. And just quickly, one of the challenges that we have is the perception versus reality. So at the federal government, provincial government, where they perceive that we already have high speed is not real. So this was a website. The URL is on there that the Government of Canada released. Essentially, you could go look and see what areas have broadband. And if you look at the little map there, all those colored dots are essentially saying, according to the Government of Canada, this is less than a year ago that they released this. They're saying we're fine. We actually don't have a problem in the region. So that contributes to the problem. But we're starting to see more momentum at the provincial level and the federal level, and they're starting to recognize that there are gaps. And I'll talk to that in a few minutes. So the why do we need broadband? People are using broadband for every activities, whether it's school, whether it's looking for jobs, or whether it's doing financial investments, just in general, engaging with government, engaging with businesses. It really impacts quality of life for people. So people are using it for a number of different things. Some examples for healthcare. So within healthcare, what you're seeing more and more now is remote and diagnostic imaging. So we'll have citizens living in Fort Erie, and they'll be, and a specialist may be in Vancouver, or a specialist may be in Toronto. And this would be the way they engage with those specialists. They can do remote and diagnostic imaging. Without having broadband, those people don't have access to those services. And at the end of the day, they may end up leaving our communities to go somewhere. Same with schools. We're seeing schools much more taking more and more advantage of online activities. There's a buzzword you may or may not have heard, but sort of the Internet of Things. It's what that talks about is essentially every device you see is somehow connected, you know, whether it's your fridge, whether it's your microwave filming you, I guess. but just all kinds of different things. So this is just a quick illustration of not that long ago, 2005, at the Papal Conclave, where they announced the new Pope, and then in 2013, it's 8 years later. I mean, it's completely different. In fact, if you look at the one on the top left, I think there's one guy with a little flip phone doing something. I'm not sure what he's doing. It was 2005. And then whether it's in agriculture and farming, that's becoming a very technically advanced business as well. And you've got sensors on the ground. Those sensors need to talk to technology. If you don't have the connectivity, people end up moving on to other things. So what are we doing about it for ourselves? At the region, I can talk to that specifically. So we've done a current state analysis and also a future state, what we would like to see within the region. What we've done is we've identified that there's essentially an $80 million gap
in backbone infrastructure. And backbone's really, I guess, sort of analogy. There's kind of like your 400 series highways. And you'll hear people talking about last mile connections. That's the connection to the house, and that's more like your suburban roads and whatnot. So we've identified about an $80 million gap. There's two initiatives that we have going on right now at the region and in collaboration with our different municipal partners. SWIFT, which I'll talk about just in a moment, that's an opportunity for us to leverage up to $15 million of funding against that gap. And then CTI, or the Connect to Innovate, is another funding opportunity from different levels of government to provide up to another $10 million, both of those being spent over the next 5 years. So it's about $25 million towards that 80. Step in the right direction. So so what is SWIFT? So SWIFT is an organization or a group of like communities like ours that have all banded together to try and leverage funding from both federal and provincial governments to build out broadband into those underserved areas, essentially. That's the focus on it. That was announced in July 26th of last year that we actually were approved for the funding. So we're getting $90 million from federal, $90 million from provincial, and we're getting some from private business and then some from municipal as well. The Niagara region's contributed $1 million. And there is an opportunity coming up for us to actually potentially increase that contribution for a significant return on that investment as well that we're looking. Some quick principles around it, I'm not going to dwell on it, but making sure it's scalable, making sure that it's open access so other organizations can leverage, other telecoms can leverage this infrastructure. We want to create competition in the marketplace. That's what's going to drive down price. Right now we're kind of beholden to whoever happens to be in the area, and we need to make sure it's a sustainable model. The map that you see in front of you there, before we joined SWIFT, our little dots didn't exist. So there was a whole bunch of activity happening in what would be our competitive marketplaces. So we were able to join up with this initiative. There's some aspirational goals of being able to get to a gigabyte for $100 a month. It's aspirational, but versus what a lot of you might be paying now, which is significantly less for significantly more. And we also want to make sure we're not duplicating infrastructure. We want to spend these dollars wisely. If there's already fiber somewhere, we don't want to build beside it. A quick look, this is the fiber that's within the region currently. It's an aggregate view of a few different providers. The red lines are what SWIFT wants to build. So that's sort of your $80 million of investment. And then that kind of gives you an overall sort of aggregate view of SWIFT plus what's existing. So that's SWIFT. And then the other one, the Connect to Innovate program. So that was a program that was just announced just at the end of the year by the federal government. And it's $500 million available to connect underserved communities. They've actually prescribed dots on a map. These are the dots on the map that we need to hit to be able to get access to this funding. We've partnered up with NRBN, or Niagara Regional Broadband Network, a provider within the region, to go after this funding. So they've contributed $2 million. The region's contributed $1.4. We're going after $6.6 million. So that application is being submitted, and we're expecting to hear the results of that before September of this year. For your own interest, so the dots, I mentioned the dots on the map. So for us, we were lucky that they did, in this case, identify some areas in Niagara where we needed to essentially route fiber and connect some of these dots. $10 million does not connect all these dots, but it does connect some of these dots. I worked with Kelly quite a bit on this as well to see where are there opportunities to that would make sense to leverage some of these. So the proposal that has gone forward connects a few of the ones in Fort Erie, whether we get the funding or not, or partial funding. So it's been submitted, and like I say, we will be notified prior to September 1st on. The flip side of the ask, or what can you do about it? I mean, I can tell you about this, but you guys can also play and role that as well. I mean, you guys are engaged with different levels of government, different ministries. When you look at some of the opportunities that you may see within the different ministries to leverage additional funding, there's funding within the Ministry of Education. We're seeing public health funding that all, in a way, can contribute to us expanding broadband in the region. Tell your stories, advocate with the press, let people know that, there's a problem and how, then we need to solve this problem. So create some urgency around it. My timer went off, so, or it went black, so I don't know where I'm at.
You're just at the right spot.
Am I?
For questions, yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry. That's very helpful, and you're right. We have adopted as a community being connected, both internally and perhaps just as importantly or more importantly, externally, so that we can promote growth and prosperity. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. That was a very good presentation. Thank you very much. I did have one question with respect to where the dots were placed. If you could bring that slide back up.
Absolutely.
I didn't see Ridgeway. I saw everything else.
So these dots, it's probably even better to go even farther back. The challenge we have is that the government really doesn't know where there's, like the federal government in the case of this one, they really don't know where there's broadband. And in fact, actually one of the local providers, NRBN, or Niagara Regional Broadband, they don't even know they exist, literally. So they don't have a great picture. What we did when we actually went through our submission, though, is we, not only did we say we're connecting these dots, but we also identified other communities that we knew were underserved that they didn't identify. And as part of our application, we told that story as well, that there are other communities and we're trying to hit these as well. What they're looking at is from the evaluation perspective is, are you doing something about the dots that they've identified? But we do know that this is absolutely not all the gaps in Niagara region. There's gaps all over the place. In the case of, I don't know if we specifically address Ridgeway or not, but we do know there's some gaps.
So then, as a follow-up, are you going to be identifying Ridgeway?
So if I go back here, let me go here. So if I go to this map here, where we're starting with the SWIFT. So this is the $80 million gap that we've talked about. This one here is getting closer to where you're talking about, and those are really your 400. So the closer you are to the 400, the closer you are to connecting those communities. So what you're going to see in that is, the SWIFT project is the one that's going to address the concern that you're talking about.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
Okay.
We really appreciate your presentation and the efforts of the region with respect to this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That takes us then to my agenda. It says Janine Tesmer, who is going to do a presentation about the 2016 communications results and upcoming initiatives. Good evening.
For inviting me today to provide you with an update on what brings me here right now is the fact that you decided that communications was an important aspect for all municipalities, and it was something that we were lacking at one time. So during your strategic planning process, you identified communications as one of the pillars, number three, along with customer service. So once I was hired, that kind of checked the box in the number one, so create a communications position. And then also it was develop a corporate communications plan and implement it. So what I'm going to do is just kind of walk you through the corporate communications plan, what we've done, and what there is still to do. So the planning process for the corporate communications plan, we conducted internal interviews between Q1 and Q2 of 2016. The interviews consisted of meetings between myself, members of council, senior management, other critical staff to basically get an idea towards what's going on, how to connect the dots, what opportunities we currently have, and what ones we could use. Once I had the opportunity to connect the dots, the plan was produced and presented to the same people that I took the information from to get their feedback. It was all positive, so we began to implement it, and we currently have implemented approximately 63% of the plan so far. So the objectives of the plan, it's kind of what's leading all of the projects and the initiatives moving forward. So the first objective is we wanted to develop a consistent Fort Erie brand and image. We wanted to implement a strategic hybrid approach. We want to utilize both traditional and digital communications in all of our projects. And we also want to promote a communications culture within all town initiatives. So not having a communications person to constantly go to or know that you have one we wanted to make sure that communications became top of mind for staff when it wasn't necessarily top of mind before. And even when they were doing communications, they were kind of doing communications separately. There really wasn't one particular place or particular direction they were all taking. So the overall strategy is kind of my pyramid. So you start with improving the communications landscape, building the foundation. If you're able to build a foundation, then you can create the communications vehicles that you can use in order to distribute the message. Followed by developing internal communications processes. Staff, council, we are ambassadors for the town of Fort Erie. If somebody in finance, their neighbor, asks them a question about the Catherine Street project, they're in finance, but for some reason there's an expectation that they should know what's going on with the Catherine Street project. I'm sure you encounter it as well. So it's really important that we create those internal communications processes to make sure everybody's on board, everybody's in the know. And then the last one is to leverage community partners where we can. So that's just the top of the pyramid. So I'm going to start with the bottom, the building of the foundation. So what I've done is I've identified all of the communications channels that we currently have. The ones that are in red are either new communications channels that we've developed or ones that have been revised somewhat to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of it. So as you can see, building a strong foundation means increasing the amount of channels. So we started with 8 and we've now increased it to 14. However, there's still some things that we could be doing. Instagram is kind of it was one that I struggled with. According to the latest stats, 96% of municipalities in Ontario are on Facebook. There's about 82 who are on Twitter, 32 on YouTube, and only 7 on Instagram. However, Instagram is how the youth communicate. They are our future. They are the next generation. And although they only take up, 7% of the municipalities in Ontario actually dedicate themselves to it, what I've learned in my experience is whatever social platform you're using when you're starting to build connections and relationships is the one that you're going to stick with moving forward. So the younger generation is using Instagram to connect with their friends and their family, and that is one where they're going to build the foundation and they're going to keep using it moving forward. So we're going to start to see a shift from the Instagram followers and the amount of municipalities using Instagram, and one's kind of stepping back from the other ones. We are doing direct mailers and door hangers. My recommendation is just to continue to do it better. Statistically, it's proven that direct mail provide the best results when it comes to communications and advertising because you're basically speaking right to the person rather than just putting up a Facebook post and hoping people see it. So what I'd like to do is continue to work with the other departments, planning and services, infrastructure services, to increase the amount of direct mailers and not necessarily direct mailers because there is a cost associated, but switch from the hand letters to more of a doorknob hanger, so it's the first thing you see when you come home. The website, so what we're currently doing, the website is kind of like a working document and it's never ended. There's never an end to it. It's constantly being updated. There's constant technological changes that happen, opportunities that arise, and ways to kind of integrate information. So what we're doing right now is I'm working with the departments and ensuring that the information is up to date and trying to find consistency across the board. There are opportunities that we could have, like this particular one, the develop a custom homepage. In my experience, our homepage, we're lacking the real estate. We're not really taking advantage of the real estate. So when you first come to our website, you see these very beautiful photos, but it would be great if there's like information right there too, because that's the first thing people see. So maybe kind of coming up with a new ideas towards how we can construct the homepage to be a little bit more effective. And the website needs to be mobile friendly. This is something we know. Statistically, it shows us that the corporate website has a bounce rate of over 70% of people entering via mobile. And we're also seeing Fort Erie traffic specifically, from 2015 to 2016, there was an increase of 62% of people who entered our website via mobile from Fort Erie, and a decrease of 18% of people who entered via desktop. So we're seeing that shift within our own community. The plus 41 and the plus 2% is the overall users. So again, across the board, we're still seeing an increase of people using and accessing our website via mobile rather than desktop. So the middle of the pyramid, develop internal communications processes. So So basically, one of the things, or one of the initiatives we've done was included a communications results section in all staff reports, again, keeping it top of mind for staff. I'm involved also with the staff reports too, just kind of review them to ensure that there isn't an opportunity for communications or potentially some type of damage control. I conduct monthly and quarterly meetings with senior managers, with directors and members of council, just to kind of stay connected, make sure the information flow is happening, and making sure that everybody's in the know. Another thing that's happened is our transit manager, employment services manager, and some of the staff from the town clerk's division all have the capabilities of blasting alerts. So, for example, the transit manager has the ability of blasting a transit alert if a bus is broken down. They don't have to go through me first. They have the capability. They have the program that they can use. In addition of sending out an e-blast alert, they can also post it on Facebook. Again, without me having to be involved, because as soon as I have to be involved, it's an extra step. It's a delayed process. They need to know the information now. Another thing we've done is we've connected the communications channels as best as possible. So I just gave you an example. So when we develop a media release, this is the distribution process. So we develop the media release, we send the email to Mayor and Council to review. Following Mayor and Council, it goes to the media. Typically, in the past, this is where it would stop. Not anymore. We now post it to our homepage under announcements. We've posted into our intranet, so all staff get an email letting them know that there's a new media release that was sent out. We post it to our blog, and then we connect the blog posting with our Facebook and our Twitter accounts, so hopefully it will drive people to the blog, let them see what we have available there. We have some great information on our blog as well. And then lastly, we sent out an e-blast or an e-alert to people who have subscribed to the media release list, and they are also learn about the information. So we're doing our best to try to connect the channels as best as possible in order to kind of simplify it, but get the best bang for our buck, pretty much. Identify flow of communication and become part of the process. So I'm involved in a lot of meetings, the business subcommittee meetings, basically any meeting that I could learn from or we're talking about new projects or new initiatives, I've been able to kind of get in there. And also, I've been included in a lot of alerts. So if there's a water main break in Fort Erie, I'm alerted along with other people. So I'm aware. So if I start getting questions on Facebook or if we want to start getting the information out, depending on how bad it is, I can do that almost immediately. And then improved communication specific to town functions. So I'm working closely with George and Kelly on the capital projects, transit. I'm working very closely with Carla with this new implementation of the new routes and the new brand. So working very closely with her. I'm very excited to be working with the new fire chief about fire. He's got a lot of really great ideas. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So basically kind of finding the priority areas of town and ones that people really want to know more about and providing them with kind of a little bit more attention. So a next step, which is still an opportunity for us, is we can remove the barrier. So very similar to how we have our employment manager or employment services manager and our transit manager able to post things to Facebook, we can give other staff the ability of doing that as well. This can be a little bit more controlled in the sense that they can develop something and it can be approved before it actually goes live. That's a preference until the person's comfortable with what they're doing. But I don't think it necessarily needs to go through a complete gatekeeper, because social media is not new. We kind of know the do's and don'ts, and we have policies. So as long as the person is trained, I'm confident that they'll be able to participate in helping disseminate communications. And the top of the pyramid, so leverage community partners. We've done a lot of really exciting things. At least I think they're really exciting. We developed a community event submission form and an online community calendar. So we always had a community calendar, but up until a couple months ago, it was only events that required a permit went up there or events that occurred in one of our facilities. But now community organizations and community members have the ability to upload their own events and put them on our community calendar, which is great because it drives people to our website. But not only do they get that, but once they put them in our community calendar, we're able to take that information and put it into the community guide. So it's another opportunity. So it's even more reason for them to come to our website and submit events. Going to the community guide. We transformed our Discover 40 REIT to a community guide, so we have over 170 community organizations. We had over 70 community events, and we're working with community partners on promoting their programming. So this is something that hasn't been done before. All the information was kind of everywhere. You had to go to multiple websites or get on the phone and talk to multiple people. Now it's all found in one place, and we can help support our community organizations and getting people to participate in their programs. And I've spoken with them, and they're already seeing an increase in participation, which is great to hear. And working with Post Media, the community guide is great because the taxpayers don't have to pay for it. It's all driven through advertising dollars. The partnership that we've developed with Post Media has been great. So it just kind of adds to why this new publication is just so great to have for Fort Erie. And then lastly, we've implemented a flyer distribution program. So we're leveraging community centers, organizations, churches, basically anywhere where people would gather, grocery stores. And basically on a regular basis, we'll provide them with some flyers or posters and ask them to put them up in their area to kind of help us spread the word. Upcoming communications trends. So just so everybody's kind of aware of what's coming up. Accessibility is a big trend. That's not a big surprise, but in communications, it's one that is still lacking in a lot of places. Some people are more forward, some people aren't. We're government, so we obviously should be more forward. We should be the example, and people should be mimicking their accessibility off of us. Bev Bradham is amazing. Well, she has amazing, has amazing information. She's a wealth of information, and she's accessibility, 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 which is great to have that advocate in on our team. The next one's video, which is, again, kind of not a surprise. They're seeing an increase in mothers, women, and youth all going to YouTube and watching videos. It's kind of their new place to gain entertainment and information. So videos are starting to go a long way. Statistically, people stop reading after their first or second paragraph. Videos, people are more engaged in them, so marketers have picked up on that, and they're starting to use them a little bit more often. There's been a shift from organic social media to paid. So the reason this has happened is because we have 2,800 likes on our page. Every time we put up a post, we're not reaching 2,800 people. That's not what's happening because Facebook has changed its algorithm in order to provide priority for content that's generated from friends and family first, followed up by anything that could be related to this person's interests. They're trying to basically find what their behavior is and feed them posts that would be interesting to them so they can continue to come back. So obviously this has hurt our capabilities of doing organic social media, being earned, being free, because statistically it's saying that now of our fans or our likes, we're only reaching 16% of them with each post. So you're going to see that shift. We've already started that shift, too. If it's something that's really important, a message that needs to get out, we will put some dollars behind it to ensure that it does. Mobile, not a surprise at all. Again, I showed you statistics about people entering our website via mobile. People are on the go constantly. People at home, they don't open up their desktop. They pull out their cell phone. That's the way of the future. So everything we do, we have to think about it being mobile friendly. And there's a lot of great programs that can kind of provide you with opportunities to target people in a particular area or location. So geo-targeting. Mobile provides a lot more opportunities than what desktop does. So it's, again, something that people are starting to use more often or make sure that they are available in mobile. Government advertising. So the Planning Act has actually recently changed in order to promote a more modern form of communicating. So they've kind of taken back from the less is more, or from the more is better. Rather than give everybody all the information, even if it's in legal and nobody can understand it, they've decided that they're going to pull back on that, provide them with the important information, and then send them somewhere for more information. So we're seeing that shift in advertising. We're seeing that shift in legal, in government, and it's something that we just kind of have to keep aware of. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tesmer. I know that you're very passionate about this. It's pretty easy to see. But I did want to, and I'm glad that I have this opportunity. Shortly after the Discover 40 REIT Rec and Leisure Guide came out, I received a phone call at home from a longtime resident of the town of Fort Erie, and she raved about the publication. She said she thought it was the best publication the town has ever put out. It made her feel proud to be part of Fort Erie. I think I've told you that story, but
it's I'll hear it again.
Opportunity to hear it again. Yes, yeah. Of course. So congratulations on that. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. That was a great presentation. I did want to say, ask you one question, but I did want to say that while you were giving your presentation, I did go onto our website to go to the news and events page to try to add an event, and it was very easy. So, yeah, kudos to our team in IT for putting that together and getting that easily done for the constituents. But since your presentation was so well done, would we be able to get a copy of that?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Well done, Ginny. Is this a good opportunity? I know we also have Mr. Davis here, and since we're speaking of communications with Janine, could we maybe get a quick update as to some of the changes we'll be seeing when we come back in the fall in council chambers to help promote communication, or are we going to be receiving something separately to inform the public as to what our plans are for video streaming and council chamber upgrades?
I think that should be the subject of a presentation by Mr. Davis, because there will be some significant changes, and it would be opportune for him to do that perhaps in September. Mr. Cookett?
Yes, through you, Mayor, to the councillor. We have a report coming next week, basically, for the award of the contract for the works in here, and that'd be a great time for Mr. Davis to put on a presentation of what all that includes. So next week would be the ideal time.
It'd be fine, except these, until the fall, those committee meetings aren't broadcast by Cogeco like these meetings are. So I think Councillor Passero may have been driving at that type of dissemination of information as well. But we can do that as the project is being fulfilled.
As long as we don't miss that opportunity, I think it's exciting as to what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And we'll definitely go further to engage people in the process.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Thank you very much, Janine. Just looking at, and I'm not that smart when it comes to computers. I'm pretty computer illiterate, but I can make my way around it. But this communication thing, I'm paying attention to it, and it seems to me that they can communicate from anywhere, and everybody can get whatever they want. And one of the things that I've been noticing lately is not just in this town, not as much, but in just certain areas and certain buildings in this town and certain businesses, they have their screens. And one of them is Tim Hortons. And you'll see the TV screens up there all the time, and they're constantly putting things up there. And today I noticed there was a lot about history and different events that happened on different dates and stuff. And I'm wondering, is there a possibility that we can link into that to give, not to give, I mean, the Tim Hortons in Fort Erie, just to give them so that we can put up our events that are coming up and everybody's sitting in Tim Hortons, because I know everybody in Fort Erie goes there. So I'm just wondering if we could link into that and maybe put something in there. Is that a possibility?
It would depend on them. They would be the keeper of that technology. So if they'd be willing to work with us and we could send them some stuff that they could put through their rotation, absolutely something I can look into.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Luberts. Any other councillors? No, thank you very much, Ms. Tesman. That then takes us to the next delegation. That would be John Hill and Mark Wilkie with respect to the Canada 150 celebration of the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 230, and this is regarding July 1st celebration.
We've got two more friends with us here.
Two more? I see that. Will they be speaking as well?
Oh, they're going to be silent tonight. So.
But they're a bunch of stand-up guys.
You may want to put that over to the side so that, yeah, all the councillors can see it. Can all the councillors see that? Good. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, Mayor and Council, certainly thank you for the opportunity to speak to you on what will be a very exciting weekend of celebrations for Canada's 150th anniversary of Confederation in Fort Erie's historic village of Ridgeway. Both Mark and I would like to give you all and as well as our residents listening this evening and viewing on Cogeco, the highlights of what we believe will be a outstanding weekend of Canada's 150th celebration. On Friday, June 30th, the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 kicks off our celebration at 4 p.m. with various heritage arts displays, a Canada 150 symposium, a full-scale model of the Battle of Ridgeway located on the upper floor in the Ridgeway or in the Legion, and a living history demonstration with a number of reenactors coming from Western Canada, or pardon me, Western Ontario, as well as Western New York. These events will carry on throughout the weekend at the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230. In addition, we think we have a very exciting opportunity for our young people in that they can write down what they think Canada will look like in the next 50 years and bring that forth to our Canada 150 celebrations at the Legion, where we will be putting them into our Canada 150 time capsule, which will then, at a later date in the fall, be buried at the Royal Canadian Legion to be opened up hopefully 50 years from now. In the evening of June 30th, we'd like our residents to join us at the Ridgeway Village Square at 7 p.m. for our Rock Canada 150. It's an open mic and karaoke event, which will be very entertaining and I'm sure very enlightening. There will be food vendors as well as a beer and wine garden that can be available to the residents. So we encourage everyone to bring their lawn chairs and enjoy the evening at that time. Anyone wishing to participate in the Rock Canada 150, of course, can send in their desire by way of our Facebook page at Canada 150, where it all began. And they also can get updates as to what's happening with regards to the weekend. And Mark has done an outstanding job with regards to updating that Facebook page. On Saturday, July 1st, which is obviously Canada Day, our celebration really kicks into high gear, starting at the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Community Center, where at 8 a.m., the Lions will be hosting a pancake breakfast. At 10:30 a.m., the Geronimo skydiving team will pay tribute to Canada 150 by parachuting into the park with a 1,500 square foot Canadian flag. At approximately 11 a.m., we will be starting the Canada 150 parade. We ask that residents interested in being part of the parade can do so by carrying the 1,500 square foot flag, which has been brought down by the Geronimo skydiving team, and that will help us to kick off our parade. We have approximately 25 to 30 participants in the parade representing all areas of our community, as well as vintage military vehicles, the McMaster Marching Band, which is pretty exciting, reenactors, and much more. The parade starts from the Crystal Ridge Community Center and will head north on Ridge Road and make its way to Cutler, where it will then turn east and disembark on Prospect Road. At the conclusion of the parade, approximately 12 noon, there will be a vintage plane flyover at the Village Square, commemorating our Canada 150th. This will be followed by a vintage military convoy carrying our veterans and will be paraded out through the streets of Ridgeway. The Village Square is the place to be for the singing of O Canada. Canada's 150th cake cutting ceremony will take place at that time, along with the releasing of 150 red and white balloons. Of course, after that is when the fun really starts, because we will continue to celebrate our Canada's 150 with live music throughout the afternoon and evening, with a beer and wine garden throughout through till 9 p.m. On Sunday, July 2nd, the celebration and party continues with live music in the Village Square till 3 p.m. A tribute to our veterans at the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230 will occur at 2 p.m. and a wrap-up party at Branch 230 commencing at 4:30 and will carry on through till about 8 o'clock. Throughout Saturday and Sunday, you can also take a historic walking tour at the Ridgeway Battlefield Park, hosted by Peter Voronsky. The 150 committee have put together a robust and exciting celebration of Canada's 150th year of Confederation, but could not have done so without the support of the community and our corporate sponsors. We'd like to take this opportunity, of course, to thank the Town of Fort Erie for their generous support, the Fort Erie Chamber of Commerce, the Niagara Community Foundation for their generous grant, the Walmart Canada, Airbus, Circle P Paving, and numerous other sponsors who have contributed to making this event an exciting time and a three-day event. We ask that those attending the parade to show their Canadian pride by wearing red and white, and that all residents fly the Canadian flag on Canada Day. The committee would like now to present with you, Mayor Redekop, a Canada 150 hat and t-shirt, which we are proudly wearing, and can be sold and to anybody interested at the Legion and or the Ridgeway Farmers Market up to and after Canada Day. We also request that the town display our banner, our two outstanding gentlemen, in the chamber's foyer or the town hall foyer. Finally, in closing, we look forward to seeing everyone celebrate Canada's 150th year of Confederation in the historic village of Ridgeway, Fort Erie's official Canada 150 headquarters. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John and Mark. I like the colors, and I don't have to worry about finding something red to wear on that weekend. And this is my wife brought home one of these brochures. This is really quite an interesting brochure, particularly a lot of the old photographs that are contained in it. But it looks like you've been doing a lot of work, and I can imagine it's a lot of energy. I see you've got some of your team behind you here, but I can imagine that you must have many, many people that are assisting you. And I've spoken to some of them, and I know you're even using some of the senior citizens, which is good.
This last night, I was yesterday at the Fort Erie Slot Meet, met with Susan Jovanovic, and her daughters gracefully volunteered to be our volunteer coordinator, who also sits on the Mayor Youth Advisory Committee.
Excellent. Yes, yes.
Getting involved with everybody in the whole town.
Perfect. That's great. Are there any members of council that have any questions? Mr. Passero, and then Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor, you were pointing to Councillor Lubberts. Councillor Passero, and then Councillor Lubberts.
Thank you, Your Worship. Well done. I'm excited about this weekend, and I do appreciate that Saturday's festivities, you're kind enough to wrap them up at 9 to still give people the opportunity to head down to Lakeshore to see the fireworks on Canada Day evening, so I appreciate that very much. I will see you there. I'll borrow the mayor's hat.
Sure.
We are,
I don't think
we are available fit. For sale during the summer. So.
You can stretch it out.
I heard that part. Thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Lewerts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And John and Mark, thank you very much for coming out and giving your presentation. And thank you very much for doing all the work to put this parade together. Just looking at the brochure and listening to your presentation about your contributors, I didn't hear the EDTC mentioned. And is there any reason why they weren't mentioned, and did they contribute to the event?
We've reached out to the EDTC, and we did hear from them, and the EDTC, as you know, have certain priorities and certain budget considerations within their purview, and we have to respect their priorities and budgets.
Mr. Lubberts?
So they haven't contributed to this event?
Through advertising, they have, yes.
Oh, okay.
On their EDTC website, along with the towns.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to thank you as well for your presentation. It was well done. Also want to reiterate that the Town of Fort Erie did contribute financially on behalf of the Canada Day 150, so thank you.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the councillors who stopping by when I've been out to different events, especially Councillor Passero, Councillor Butler, and
okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. We look forward to seeing you on June the 30th.
And
absolutely, yes, please do. Yes, thank you. And Is there, where is it that people can get copies of these brochures?
Let's move this again. Through all the different tourist agencies through the town and through Niagara Falls. Port Colborne's working with us too through the Port Colborne Museums. And myself and our other committee, Roxanne, are going to be meeting tomorrow in Niagara Falls with Port Colborne representative and the Niagara Falls Tourism. It's broadcasted everywhere. I'm on about 50 different websites.
Perfect.
With over a million viewers seeing this. So we're expecting a really good weekend.
Excellent. Thank you again. And at the museum, Fort Erie. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, and you can put that in the atrium there, and staff will find the best location for it. Thank you. That brings us into our final delegation, and that is Ms. Bev Bradnam, previously referenced by Ms. Tesmer.
And I was going to reference Ms. Tesmer because the Facebook advertising, I got that mom for the fire and ice, and it really caught my attention. So I was hoping it had a video attached with it, but it was just a GIF, but that was really cute. So thank you for having me tonight. I'm really excited about this project that Tom said he's sick of hearing about, but I wanted to give you each an opportunity.
He's just the CAO.
Yeah. And for those listening in, on how they can participate in this great event. So what is the Canada 150 Mosaic Project? It's a nationwide initiative that the Canada 150 Mosaic team is leading over a two-year period. You must apologize for my voice as well. The goal is that by July 2017, we're going to have 150 murals across Canada that are going to link visually, digitally. The project will result in over 80,000 paintings and 150 individual murals that will unite into one giant mural mosaic. So in celebration of Canada's 150th, the town of Fort Erie submitted a grant request to the Niagara Community Foundation, and we were successful in that partnership. And so in order to create this community mural, we were asked to provide what somebody would think of when they think of Fort Erie. So they gave me the example of the Great Goose in North Bay. When you think of North Bay, you think of the goose. So, of course, for us and with the history, the old fort was the iconic image that was chosen. And so we sent in some photos to them at the Canada 150 team, and they came up with what was on the original slide there of the old fort. So the mosaic mural is going to contain 400 tiles that are created by community members. And it's based on the design by Louis Lavoie, the artist. He's the key artist. The finished product is going to be an 8-by-8-foot mural that we're going to house in the Leisureplex. And we are going to have two workshops over June 6th and June 7th that are going to be 1 hour in length. I have extended one of the workshops to include two classes of grade 9 students, so they're going to take buses here and there, and we're probably going to provide them with a lunch that day. Every painting will tell your own story, so there's been a little bit of confusion. If people that haven't read the flyer, they think, like the mayor did at first, I want to paint a green or a blue piece of the tile. But what these tiles do are, it's what you feel your community represents, or it could just be a flower you're painting or a peace sign, and then that's going to be put together by the artists to show the mural of the old fort. So here's some examples. I did do a workshop by myself with the Girl Guide troop last Monday. So we were provided with some blues. The workshop committee wanted us to use blue colors. So here's a few, and then those will be taken and put into the larger mural. And this is what Gananoque's start, like it's not quite finished yet, but if you look, you can see some of the tiles. There's an apple in one and a flower. There's a boat. There's a keyboard for somebody that likes piano. And so what they do is, in the end, it's a man in a canoe with the islands in behind representing the city of Gananoque. So the project does encourage participation from all members of the community. So we've reached out to several stakeholders in the community. We have 42 people coming from Multicultural Center, some students there. And as I said, some grade 9 students as well. We also partnered with the Corporate Challenge this year. We haven't done one in 10 years. And so way back when I was a newbie here at the town, we participated. And one of the things you did was you got bonus points. So we partnered with them. If you come and do a tile, you get a bonus point. So that's great. That's 60 spaces right there. And so far, I have 195 people registered already, so it is filling up quite quickly. And we really have only done the flyers in the library, so it really hasn't been out there at all. So I wanted to provide this opportunity, and then I'm going to be working with Janine to get it out in social media as well. So the full mural is going to be unveiled closer to July 1st. I was kind of hoping to do it at the Ridgeway weekend, but I'm not quite sure how portable the actual mosaic will be. It'll probably just be here at one of the council meetings when we unveil the final mural. And so here's the workshop. Like I said, there were two full days. The Tuesday, we're going to have two evening sessions as well for those that can't come during the day. I have two of the sessions that are already filled up. And all workshops will be held at the Leisureplex Banquet Hall. And if anybody needs accommodations for accessibility, just let me know and we'll make sure that's taken care of. And so how do you participate? You just choose one of the workshop dates and times. Contact me by email or phone. Our customer service desk also will take some information on your preferred workshop date and time. Again, if you require any special accommodations, let us know. And just come 5 to 10 minutes early to the Leisureplex just to be signed in for your specific workshop. And then just have fun, enjoy, and being a part of Fort Erie's history. I just need to say, too, that the initiative is made possible by the Community Fund for Canada's 150th, a collaboration between the Niagara Community Foundation, the Government of Canada, and extraordinary leaders from coast to coast, and with the support of the Town of Fort Erie Council.
That's it. Thank you very
much.
Didn't
need the full 10 minutes.
That was very good. That was excellent. I'm still having... Still having a bit of a challenge figuring out how those pieces are going to end up looking like this mural.
So if you look at Gananoque's,
yeah.
See, so some of them, you know, there's a wheel, spoked wheel, but when you look back, it's the way that they lay
the
out
coloring,
the tiles.
I guess it's the coloring, right. Yeah. And individuals, when they come out to the workshop, they're supposed to complete their tile within an hour?
Within the hour, yeah. The girl guides did it within an hour. No problem. I mean, if it runs late, it runs late. I'm going to have Sean set up extra tables, but we are trying to encourage an hour.
You did flash up your email address, but if people are interested, if they go to the Town of Fort Erie's website, they'll be able to connect to this?
Yeah, under the Culture and Recreation, we have a webpage, Canada's 150th Mosaic. It also has links to the Canada 150 Mosaic website, so if people do want to see what other murals are being done, that's on there as well.
Okay, so great. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Bev, thank you very much. And just one little question here. Can someone do their tile without being at the workshop and then hand it into the town?
They can. If they can't make it into a workshop. I did have it on the slide there that I have given 50 tiles to the Arts Council and some of the studios in town to work on some community nights. So there is the ability for that, but they would have to use acrylic paints. We do have some small samples, but if they're an artist and they have that information, they can just give me a call if they haven't been part of the Arts Council group.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Beth, for taking this on. I know this started as just a maybe-we-could idea, and it's kind of turned into a job on its own. And you're not only doing this, but your own job and most of Tom's job. So I appreciate your effort.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. I'm thinking that if you were doing his job, that that would be why he would be angry that you're doing this job. Okay. Thank you very much, Bev. That takes us then to the consent agenda. Is there anyone who wishes any of the items removed from the consent agenda? If not, then Councillor Nutt, you have the resolution.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. Approved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko. The Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. On item 2A, the Township of Wainfleet considered regarding the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, when I'm reading through their correspondence, I'm just wondering if staff could give a little explanation on what the Attorney General's office has offered as far as I'm thinking that would be the investigation or the, and second question would be, the second that in the resolution, it says, that outlines Wayne Fleet's ability to appoint and submit a preferred candidate to the NPCA board. I just wondered, did they not go through the same process that we did and appoint someone to represent their community? Or did someone else appoint them?
Mr. Cookett, I don't know whether you have any information on this or Ms. Babenko. Either one of you, if you feel that you have some background, please jump in.
I don't, Your Worship, but I wonder if it would be appropriate for Mr. Nunziata to answer those questions.
Sure, if you would, please.
So with respect to the first question, the Auditor General has been engaged. Matter of fact, I met with Ms. Lysak on Friday, and we're trying to see how the Auditor General can help within the legislation right now. So unfortunately, the conversation that we had with Ms. Lysak, it was a confidential confirmation. I'll be sharing that information with the NPCA board at our May 17th board meeting. With respect to the second question, following the Conservation Authorities Act and how conservation authorities all across Ontario, there's 36 conservation authorities throughout Ontario, how they're populated. Usually they're populated by the municipality that are the contributing levy partners. So for the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, for example, it's the region of Niagara, it's Haldimand County, and it's the city of Hamilton. So through that representation, that's who chooses who the members are. So for the region of Niagara, it's the Regional Council of Niagara that chooses who their representatives are. Again, there's a deference model in place. So if there's regional councillors that do not want to sit on the MPCA, then that responsibility is downloaded to the host municipality. If they're sitting councillors on the host municipality that don't want to sit on the MPCA, then it's a process where applications are taken in and a resident appointee or someone else is appointed to the MPCA. As a matter of fact, the town of Fort Erie had that opportunity, I believe, last term of council, where there were no regional councillors that wanted to sit on the board, and that was downloaded to the town, and it was, I believe, Councillor Steckley that was the MPCA representative on that board. So every municipality has an opportunity to have representation, but because of the levying situation, the region of Niagara is the partner that chooses who those representatives are.
Councillor Lubert?
Yes, and thank you very much, Regional Councillor Nunziata. Going back to the first, I'm just wondering, what is it that the Auditor General's office offered? Because it says the Township of Wayne Fleet urged the NPCA to accept the offer from the Auditor General's office and not proceed with any other third-party investigation. So did the Auditor General's office offer to do the investigation?
The answer is yes, and my understanding is that that's what, in fact, is going to be taking place.
Yeah, with respect to your Worship's comments, the motion coming from Wayne Fleet is a little dated. The process has already been abandoned with respect to the independent operation review, and the board has directed me to re-engage the Auditor General's office. So to your point, previously the Auditor General offered to conduct a pilot project. Still don't know what that meant. So we're re-engaging the Auditor General to understand exactly what her capabilities are and what she could what value she could provide the NPCA, and we're fully confident that that's the path that we will go.
Councilor Liberts, anything further? Any other councillors? Councilor Nutt.
Just to follow up on Councilor Liberts' point, I found this correspondence somewhat interesting. Is the mayor of Wayne Fleet not a sitting member of the board currently?
Isn't she?
She is a sitting member, correct, and she was duly appointed by the region of Niagara, and she is the representative on the board.
So by that fact, then don't they already have the representation that they're asking for in their motion because she is elected by the people in Wayne Fleet, by the people in Niagara?
Correct. The MPCA doesn't really have anything to do with who sits on the board. Again, it's up to the levying partners, the Region of Niagara, the City of Hamilton, and Haldimand County. Those are the agencies responsible for populating the board. Now, through the wisdom of the province, the Conservation Authorities Act is under review. When that is tabled in the spring, and if not in the spring, then in the fall, if there's specific language in the Conservation Authorities Act which specifically spells out how Conservation Authority boards are populated, then absolutely we will follow that language, and we will meet that legislative obligation. But until that happens, again, it's levying partners that choose how to populate their boards.
Councillor Nutt, I read this slightly differently than you may have. It's true that Councillor or Mayor Jeffs was appointed by the Regional Council. This, I think, is directed towards the municipality being able to make the recommendation to the region as to who should be appointed by the region to that board. That's the way I read that.
Yeah. And again, because it's a levying partner, and out of the $12 million budget that the MPCA does receive, roughly about $8 million to $9 million of those dollars come from the Region of Niagara. Therefore, they have the responsibility to appoint those board members. So again, if there's a sitting member, say to your example of Wainfleet, and the mayor doesn't want to take on the responsibility of representing Wainfleet on that board, then she can defer, and that that would move on to the Wainfleet City Council, and they can appoint someone there. And if Wainfleet City Council doesn't want to have any of their elected officials sit on the board, then again, the option to put that out to the public and request representation is always there as well. So there is opportunity for that, but again, it's up to the sitting member at the Region of Niagara to bow out of that process. So for example, if I bowed out of the process and your worship wanted to sit on the board, then you would be sitting on the board. If both of us bowed out of that process, then it would come to this council, and this council would have an opportunity to select one of their council members. And if none of the council member, then it would go to an open process and possibly a citizen appointee.
Yeah, in a former life as mayor, it was usually the municipality that, or at least in Fort Erie, the municipality would make an appointment or a recommendation to the region, and the region would typically then appoint the individual. It could be the mayor, it could be a councillor, it could be a non-elected official, and some of the municipalities used to do that. So there has been a change in how it's done, and I think this resolution is trying to get back to something similar to what used to be. However, I wasn't there, I don't know, and I could maybe find that out from...
Yeah.
They have elected representation.
At the very
least. Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what's behind this, but I can find that out. Any other councillors? Before I go back to Councillor Lubberts, Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Going back, I'm just wondering, maybe staff could answer this here, someone from staff. Looking at the second paragraph in the that's, Wainfleet wants to consult with the neighboring municipalities and prepare a report outlining Wainfleet's ability. Now, how would we affect Wainfleet's ability to appoint someone? Would that not be something that a municipality would do on their own?
Well, we wouldn't. And what this says is that the Council of the Township of Wainfleet is directing staff to consult neighboring municipalities and then prepare a report for the Township of Wainfleet Council to consider. And it would be with respect to Wainfleet's ability to appoint or submit a preferred candidate to the MPCA. So this is just to Wainfleet staff to consult neighboring municipalities as to whether we have a different process.
Well, doesn't everybody have this? We just got to explain the process that's in place, and that's by the regional councillor, and that's the process for every municipality. Is that not correct?
Well, I didn't create the resolution. I can only read the resolution. There's no one on our staff that created this resolution, but the clear, plain interpretation of that paragraph is that council has directed staff to consult neighboring municipalities and prepare a report for their consideration. The information that they provide to council may be no more sophisticated than Councillor Nunziata's advice to us as to how members are appointed to that board.
Yes, I understand that. Looking at, I mean, we're just accepting this information, but
we're receiving.
I'm looking at this, and is Wayne Fleet going to be thinking that we're accepting this information and that we're going to participate in their role in trying to appoint someone on their own rather than going through the process of that the NPCA has for all the other municipalities? And I don't know that Fort Erie wants to engage themselves in helping Wayne Fleet appoint someone separate.
I don't believe that's what that says. We're here, we're going to be, if this resolution is passed, we're going to be receiving this. They sent it to us, so we're receiving it. We're not taking any action. If their staff contacts our staff, I presume that they'll ask some questions and our staff will give some answers. And that's as far as this would go. So that's, we're just receiving this.
Yes, I understand that, Mayor Redekop. I understand that we're just receiving it, but I don't want anybody getting the impression that when by receiving this, we're supporting what they're trying to do. And it's, to me, it's a little confusing as to what they're trying to do. But it seems to me that what they're trying to do is get everybody's support to change the way that your representative is being appointed, because they want to appoint their own representative and not have it done through the region or through the NPCA. So as long as Wayne Fleet understands that we're receiving this, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're supporting what this resolution is trying to accomplish.
Mr. Banker, what does receive mean?
Through your worship, to Councillor Lubberts, to clarify, receiving is simply that, receiving the correspondence. It's an opportunity for council to do just that. If council wanted to remove it and support, they could do so. But as it stands right now, it's just receive, not receive and support.
Which is an acknowledgement that we've received the correspondence.
That's correct, your worship.
Thank you. Any other questions? If there are none, I'll call the question. All those in favor of the resolution to accept the items on the consent agenda? None opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to new business, and the first resolution under new business is Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council appoints Ian Johnson to the Communities in Bloom Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And the second resolution under new business, Councillor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council proclaims May 15th to 19th, 2017 as Bowen Road Women's Institute Week and approves that their flag be flown at the Town Hall.
Are there any questions or comments? All of those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Are there any other items of new business or inquiries by members of council? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'm just curious as to why the EDTC has decided not to contribute to the Canada 150 parade. During our budget deliberations, I questioned some of the spendings from last year, and they didn't have a problem spending $10,000, I believe it was, to sponsor a golf tournament. And they're contributing monies towards RFP for the Niagara Parks Commission. And being that this is the 150th anniversary of Canada, I don't understand why they wouldn't want to contribute and to the event, given it is in their mandate for tourism. And I'm wondering if yourself or Councillor McDermott can inquire
to the board as to why they decided against funding something that's, important to not just Fort Erie, but all of Canada.
Absolutely. We have a meeting that comes up the latter part of May, and either one of us or both of us will raise the issue. The delegation said it had to do with budgets, but we can certainly get to it, and we'll be able to respond to your inquiry. Any other inquiries? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to maybe Mr. Cookitz. I know that everyone in the community is very excited about the snowbirds. Who's paying for that?
Mr. Cookitz, you would know that.
Through Your Worship, to the councillor, we are contributing to the snowbirds to the tune of $15,000 from what I recall, and the EDTC as well is contributing. I can't recall the exact dollar number, but I believe it's $10,000.
I appreciate that. In my opinion, Canada 150 is 365 days this year. It's not one event. And Mr. Wilkie stated, and Mr. Hill, that the EDTC has funding priorities. They have budgets. And to me, you cannot get better bang for your buck than bringing the snowbirds to this community to help celebrate Canada 150. So if that's what they've chosen to use some discretionary money on, then I fully support that. You can't support everything. You have to pick and choose. And we would be taking them to task if they were doing too many things with their budget. That would come around too, come November, December. So I think some members need to be cognizant that some things are being paid for even though it's not splashed across the newspaper. I definitely didn't intend to bring that up publicly, but I think people should know that the EDTC is a big supporter of Canada 150. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Passero, and I'm sure that that's information we'll get to, and I know that that request for the snowbirds came in prior to the Canada 150 Ridgeway Parade, but we'll get that answer, and we'll provide you with full background, Councillor Liberts. Any other inquiries? If not, then that takes us to... No motions, and there are none. Are there any notices of motion this evening? There being none, that takes us to consideration of bylaws. Are there any bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? If not, then Councillor Butler, could I call upon you for first and second reading of the bylaw package, please?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that the bylaw package containing 49-2017 to authorize the entry into a transfer payment agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in right of Ontario as represented by the Minister of Transportation for the Province of Ontario under the Public Transit Infrastructure Fund PTIF Phase 1 Program. 50-2017 to appoint temporary municipal law enforcement officers for the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie. 51-2017 to accept and declare lands as public highway on the south side of West Main Street, 171231 Ontario Inc. Lawrence Beam. 52-2017 to enact an amendment to the official plan adopted by bylaw number 150-06 for the Town of Fort Erie Planning Area, amendment number 35, Fort Erie Hills, subdivision 87 Crook Street and 0 Thompson Road, Town of Fort Erie. 53-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Fort Erie Hills, subdivision 87 Crook Street and 0 Thompson Road, Fort Erie Hills, International Canada Inc., Dan Lane owner. 54-2017 to adopt the management, supervisory, and exempt employees salary administration plan and to repeal bylaw number 35-2014 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments. Mr. Hayworth, I had a question with respect to the zoning bylaw, which is also following the official plan amendment regarding Fort Erie Hills. And there had been an amendment to the recommendations last week with respect to moving the Fort Erie Hills project forward. It dealt with the traffic issues at Thompson and Phipps and Thompson and Bowen. And the zoning bylaw, 532017, or the amendment, makes reference to holding provisions for virtually all of these new development parcels or parts on the plan. And there's a reference to the holding provisions being in effect until a subdivision agreement is reached. Is that, that's the typical process? And
that's correct.
Thank you. And the traffic issues would be something that would be part of the conditions of draft plan approval, I presume.
To your worship and through to council as well. Yes, I think the draft plan conditions referred to a traffic study, which was done, and the region asked for that to be revised. So the change to the recommendation when the council approved it, the region will be advised of that recommendation, and that will be considered in terms of how they move forward on that.
Right. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? If not, then Councillor Passero, you have third and final reading for the bylaw package.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaws 49-2017, 50-2017, 51-2017, 52-2017, 53-2017, 54-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have first and second reading for the confirmatory bylaw.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw number 55-2017 to confirm the actions of Council held at its meeting on May 8, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubert, you have third and final reading for the confirmatory bylaw.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 55-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? Are you in favor, Councillor Liberts? Thank you. None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Any meetings coming up? If not, then I will call upon Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Always a good sign.
Always a good sign. Home in time to watch some hockey. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, the Council adjourns at 7:37 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on May 23rd, 2017.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Just a side note, Your Worship, I'd like to note that that date is a Tuesday.
Just it is
for
a
people
Tuesday,
who want to listen in.
That is correct, because Monday is the Victoria Day holiday. Yeah. Thank you. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you.